Hey guys, and welcome to season 3 of the Leader Quest podcast. So excited that you could join us this season. This season, we are profiling businesses hit by the COVID economy. So located within this next season are business owners, our business leaders, invested in local communities, traversing the world through the COVID economy. I hope that you are blessed. I hope that you can grow from it. And I hope that you are encouraged to keep pressing on. And if you know of a story or would like to share your own story, reach out to me, Justin at justinhebert.com. I would love to profile you and share your story with the world. Welcome everybody to the Leader Quest podcast. I am glad that you've chosen to join us today. And today I am thrilled to be joined by Dustin Weaver. He is a financial advisor. He is going to share a bit more about himself. But Dustin, welcome to the show.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me today, Justin. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good. Why don't you, for our audience, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Bakersfield. I'm a native here and went to school, obviously, here in the Valley. And growing up, I knew that I wanted to have a career where I could help people. And I also enjoyed working with numbers. And so the path of financial planning was exposed to me and I got excited about it and went down that path and never looked back. And it's been great. So I help people with holistic financial planning, which if you think, well, what does that mean? Basically, all of us have financial goals that we're looking to implement or develop or change. And I help people walk through that process and help them see how they can reach their goals.
Excellent. And what a timely topic. Everybody had financial goals to start out, right? January, man, I'm getting out of debt and I'm growing my business and I'm going to hire 5 new people. And that was probably good till February 15th. And then everything has been topsy-turvy since then. So I can't wait to see the wisdom that you bring into us. I want to start there since we're talking about kind of this history of the pandemic this season on the podcast. How has your business had to pivot during 2020?
Well, as a professional that often sits eyeball to eyeball with somebody across the desk, right? We've had to shift that because there's regulations and guidelines that have been recommended to keep everybody safe. And so the biggest shift has been going from face-to-face meetings to meetings like this digitally over the internet. And so it's finding the right software to be able to do that and keep information safe because we're talking about intimate topics often and people want their information protected. And I would say that's the biggest shift, you know, as a face-to-face professional, you know, finding the resources to be able to keep business as usual and keep the client experience consistent.
Yeah. I love that last point, this idea of keeping the client consistent, the client experience consistent. And that I think has been a struggle for a lot of businesses, right? Because everybody's had to make that pivot of, I can't go into my favorite shops and buy anymore. So rewind that maybe just a little bit. First of all, what is the customer experience you try to create and how have you had to navigate that in the midst of this electronic Zoom world we find ourselves in?
That we strive to do when you're trying to find somebody to help you with your finances, because it's such an intimate and personal thing, you really want to shop around and see if you can find somebody that you can trust and find someone that has your best interest in mind. And so our client experience is about helping people see the value that we can provide and get to know them first, which if I were to give you an overview of our process, it starts with an introduction. Who are you? Who are we? And what is it that we're trying to accomplish or how is it that we can help? And so after an introduction, we move to the discovery process where we get a little bit more into detail and talk about someone's goals and personal needs, what they're trying to accomplish. And then the follow-up to that is what we call a data gathering where we actually get the numbers behind their situation and see where we can marry those goals and the numbers together and see how we can make that fit. And so we do that through proposals and implementing the plans that we design and come up with.
Excellent. And so what's the typical person looking for that approaches you, right? If I'm a customer, how do I even begin to know that, man, maybe I do need some help. I'm kind of confused on this stuff.
That's a very good question. I find that most people, if you were to ask them, do you actually know the number, how much money it's going to take for you to be able to retire comfortably and stay comfortably retired? A lot of people answer that with, no, I don't. And so my ask as a follow-up is, well, do you mind if we sit down and I can help you figure out what that is for you?
Yeah.
And the key is that end part for you. Everybody has a different goal. Everybody has a different set of values, and values matter. It's not just about the numbers. It's what's important about money to you, and how do we help you reach those goals based on your values?
Yeah. Excellent. I can imagine, even I'm nowhere close to the retirement age. Unfortunately, I got a few years of work left in me, but it's a discussion my wife and I have already started to have, because we want to make sure that we are clear on our end destination, right? I mean, as a coach, that is the sort of thing I spend my time doing. Where you at and where do you want to be? And I imagine in many ways, you're just trying to coach people into that financial success, right? Hey, here's where you're at. And if this is where you want to be, we've got to have a smart plan to get there. And people are funny with money, right? We can raise all sorts of objections about money. And so could you walk us through, even just briefly, this idea of, I'll use myself as an example, because I've really had to focus on my finances this year. So I've got no problem sharing this. But I used to be really stupid with money and make lots of poor choices, we'll say. And I can draw a budget and then have issues sticking to it. So what is something that stupid money people can do to get smart? Let me ask it this way. How do I bridge the gap between realizing where I'm at and where I want to be?
Absolutely. I would say, in my experience, both personally and watching other people walk through this, the first step is to come up with a plan. So if you've come up with a plan as far as where you're going, that's the first step. And then know that it's okay to baby step into that. What do I mean by that? So let's say your plan designates that you need to start saving 15% of your income to reach your goals. Most people hear that number and say, wow, that's a big number, Dustin. How am I going to start saving 15%? That's almost a dollar out of every six, or a little more than a dollar out of every six that I make. How am I going to do that? Well, maybe you start small and you make it an automatic kind of thing. I feel like with these subscriptions that we're paying for, or auto deductions, like if you're paying for health insurance or a 401k contribution, when it's automatic and already done before you have the money in your checking account, it's a forced savings in a way that allows you to help reach those goals before you can spend the money. And so, again, I mentioned from personal experience, I had to start small, right? It was 5 or 6% for my wife and I, but for our plans, it's a higher percentage we had to save. But if we started at 5 or 6 and then increase that savings rate by 1% every year, I tell you, you don't really feel it. And then, you know, a few years down the line, all of a sudden you're saving that 12 to 15%. And you're going to most likely reach your goals. So that would be the recommendation, would be knowing that it's okay to start somewhere in between where you need to be and where you currently are, and taking baby steps to get there to that level that you need to be.
Yeah, excellent. And I think that's great advice. And again, as a from the coaching world, I can echo. And there are sometimes, you know, I call a client and maybe I'll call you up and be like, Dustin, we got to tackle this big goal today. Let's get at it. And there are other days that, quite honestly, I had a phone call this week with somebody. I said, your week is going to be crazy. We know that it's going to be completely out of the ordinary. Find the easiest, most simple, quickest thing you can do to get a win and give yourself some positive energy headed into the rest of this week. And so I think that's just, hey, maybe starting at 15% is unrealistic, but but you can start at one,
right,
and work up from there. So excellent advice. Thank you. I'm curious. I want to start to shift forward, right? And so you talked about some of those changes that you've had to make previous to this. How do we keep customer experience the same while still providing excellent service and getting clients to their goals? Look forward. What does the future of your business look like? And by that, I mean, what of those changes do you think are temporary? Hopefully Zoom is temporary. But what of those do you think will be more permanent? Have you learned something during this 6 months of quarantine and working via Zoom meetings that you're like, man, as soon as I can see clients during face-to-face meetings again, I still want to keep this aspect of it?
Absolutely. I would say that on one hand, to your point, we hope that Zoom is temporary. I am definitely a face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, I want to look you in the eye when I'm talking to you kind of person. And at the same time, we have experienced that, you know, we are able to provide some value digitally, which means we might be able to help people outside of the Valley even. And so we've actually had some conversations with some folks in Los Angeles or maybe even the Bay Area that we can build a relationship with and be able to provide that experience. And I feel like people in general have had to get more comfortable with this remote environment, and everybody's got a webcam now and they're comfortable with the technology. We found people that previously were not technologically savvy because of this forced situation are more comfortable with it now. And I feel like that comfort will continue into the future. Now that we've learned it, we've got comfortable with it, I see us working with more people, being able to help more people, regardless of the region, which is just fantastic, that people can get that kind of help and oftentimes more quickly, right? You don't necessarily have to drive to an appointment or some people have a set of expectations when they're coming to a live meeting that's different than if they're going to a digital meeting. And so I think it's going to help in a lot of ways that at first we might have thought was hurtful is going to actually be more helpful.
Yeah, excellent. I like that. I like that idea. And it really has raised the technological IQ of a lot of people, I guess is the way to say it, in those relationships, right? So what have you noticed have been some effective relationship building tools in that digital world? You're clearly, you've said it several times now, you're that eyeball face-to-face person. We can't do that, but how do you build that rapport and that trust with your clients via Zoom?
Absolutely. So in the past, I would say we'd have a lot of phone calls that now, what would have been handled on a phone call, we're saying, hey, can we jump on a Zoom? And there is, I feel like, a level of intimacy with having the face-to-face, even if it's over a computer, with being able to see facial expressions and I don't know, it's just it's a better feeling for me to be able to actually see you and you can see me as opposed to just a phone call. And so is it the same as live face-to-face? No, but I feel like it's a lot better than just a phone call or a text message or an email. We still have that, a lot of human element that can be transferred over the computer.
Yeah, so there's the frustration of Zoom. It sounds like is that you can't meet face-to-face. But the benefit of Zoom is it's giving you more screen face-to-face time in other areas where you maybe wouldn't have initially pursued that. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. How have you seen that increased Zoom time, that increase in face-to-face time pay off for your clients? Are they noticing something in this business transition because of these increased FaceTime conversations with you?
I would say I can think of two or three instances where I got actual verbal feedback where somebody said, hey, I kind of like this thing. This is working out okay. One of which does not live in Bakersfield. And so obviously because of that distance, we're likely not going to have many, face-to-face meetings because it's too far of a drive. And so for them, they've their personal experience was, I mean, they said, hey, this is great. I like this a lot better than just talking on the phone. So this one example in particular, I was thinking of when I was just describing how I do see some benefit in it.
Yeah.
So I guess my encouragement to others would be to try and see some positives in some of the situations that we'd initially thought were negative.
Yeah, actually, no, I like that reframe because even as you were saying that, I'm like, so our audience is business owners, and I'm talking to business leaders, business owners, business influencers this season on the podcast. So my follow-up question to you is be like, so what's one of your takeaways from Zoom? And maybe you just shared it there. Find good in what you think is a negative. What an excellent reframe. But take just a second maybe, and we've got business owners who are struggling, and is our economy opening? Is it not? Can I have customers in my store? Can I not? Would you mind speak directly to them maybe a bit more about this idea of finding something positive in the negative?
Absolutely. So if you have a storefront or a location that requires people to be in person, try and think outside the box a little bit on how you can go digital or find another avenue to get your product in front of your target audience that is not necessarily face-to-face. If in fact some of the implications of this pandemic turn out to be longer term than we initially expected, we're going to have to be adaptable. We can't be static in our thinking and think that, well, just because this is the way it used to be, this is the way it should always be, that might not be our new reality. And so I would just encourage you to, you know, try and shift your thinking to look for the opportunities. You're an entrepreneur. You're not new to new ideas. And this may be just the new normal for us, might be more dynamic than what we're used to.
Yeah. It's interesting. There are a number of studies coming out showing that in the midst of COVID, entrepreneurship is actually on the rise. Mm-hmm. And people are basically realizing, I'm never going to have a better time to start my business. I've either been, you know, laid off entirely, or maybe I've been furloughed for a little bit, or at the very least, I have my commute time back. And so people are starting up those side hustles, which I would guess is leading to hopefully for them more financial opportunities. I know it's been tight for a lot of people, right? Entrepreneurs are used to solving problems. And I wonder if there won't be a bit of like entrepreneurial fatigue setting in, right? I've solved the problem of, you know, whatever my product or service is. I've solved the problem of how to market it. I've solved the problem of how to get a storefront. And I wonder how many people in the midst of COVID will just call it quits, you know. I want to start to wrap up here as we wrap up our time together. We're pushing that 30 minutes. Thank you for your time. This transition from where we've been to where we're at to where you think you're going hasn't eliminated all of the problems. And I'm sure you still wake up every day and you're like, man, I got something eating away at me. And part of what I want to do this season on the podcast is help build rapport with other business owners. We are all in this together. We have all been affected. And so if you wouldn't mind just sharing, like, what's one problem or question that you're facing as a business owner, as a business leader, as an influencer in this community?
So one of the challenges that I have been experiencing is sometimes people see revisiting their financial goals or their financial plan or paying for things like life insurance, that can be a secondary or even tertiary goal for them. A lot of folks are just trying to get by and they're biding time right now. They're waiting to see what the long-term implications of this pandemic really are. And I say long-term, but also short-term, right? We're living day by day, just watching the news and just anticipating where are the numbers and what are they doing in our state? What are they doing nationally? And so I feel like some folks have set aside their long-term planning just in this interim time. So I would say one challenge for me would be finding those folks that are still thinking about their long-term plan and do want to engage in that type of relationship or conversation. much like you've experienced as a coach, I imagine that coaching budget may have been scaled back during this time. And so I would say that's one challenge that I've been having at a time when I know that people need the help more than ever.
I'm becoming more and more convinced that we don't fully know the long-term implications of everything that has gone on. Mm-hmm. That even if state, local, federal government, whoever came back and said, we're reopening everything 100% effective immediately, the vast majority of people have spent so much of the last 6 months just like being afraid that even if I got the all clear, people are still going to be gun shy, and towns and places and industries that rely on tourism, I don't think are going to recover in 3 months or 6 months after this is all over. My guess is we're probably talking years at this point in time. And so I think that's a great boy. People have put all of that stuff on the back burner. And unfortunately, like a stone rolling downhill, that's going to continue to gain some momentum. The longer this goes on and the more people push that down, it's going to continue to lead to issues in state and local economies. And I think that's unfortunate that people are excited about getting back to work or starting their business or getting their finances in order. And man, sometimes these life unexpected events can really put a bind in all of that. So what I want to do is ask two final questions. The first one is just quite frankly, how can people get in touch with you? Tell us again, remind us of your name, where you work. If you want them to stop by your office or give you an email or a phone call, give us all of that because we do want to take our finances seriously and get back on track. How can you help us do that?
Absolutely. So I did not mention I am an independent advisor on my own, but I do work as part of a team at Barnes Wealth Management. So our website is www.barneswealth.com, and Barnes is spelled with an E. That's B-A-R-N-E-S wealth.com. And our phone number here is 661-322-9799. And I can always be reached by email at dweaver@barneswealth.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Hey, as we wrap up, I want to give you the stage for the next 30 to 60 seconds. Would you, so you've walked us through your pivot, you've walked us through the future, you walked us through your own struggle. Thank you for all of that. I want to give you the last 30 to 60 seconds. I'm going to be quiet. Just speak directly to our audience. Would you mind leaving us with some sort of word of encouragement or word of wisdom to help us on our journey?
As a holistic planner, I look at and talk about a lot of different things with people, but one of the things we talk about is investing. And I feel like it's a common theme that people either don't understand everything, they feel like there's a lot of information to follow, and they're bombarded with options and don't know where to go or what to do. My encouragement would be that all successful investing is goal-focused and planning-driven, and all failed investing is market-focused and current events-driven. So every day when we turn on the news, we're going to find some bad news. I mean, it feels like there's bad news reported all the time. But that doesn't change the fact that we have goals and a vision of a plan based on our own personal values. And so my encouragement would be to do just that. Focus on your goals and your plans, and don't feel so bad when you see the world around us having some negative press and negative things happening. Focus on the positive and remember to focus on your goals and plans. That's much more important than what's going on day to day on the news.
Excellent. Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate that word of wisdom. Appreciate your insight. Appreciate what you have brought to the table. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Leader Quest podcast, and we will see you all next time. What are your key takeaways from our interview with Dustin Weaver? Be sure to leave a comment below. Subscribe to the Leader Quest podcast and stay tuned for our next episode with another business leader as we help you navigate the COVID economy.